post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Hi, and you're on the near post. My name is Paddy Bordier, and we are talking Australian football, the soccer kind of football, the round ball code. Across the Australian Community
the
Radio
world's
Network.
Football.
Welcome, Nick the Economist. How are you?
Paddy the... What are you?
Generalist.
Generalist? Public yeah. servant?
Generalist public servant.
Doesn't really mean much, does it?
And Nick Amies, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I'd like to have my title as the video gamist.
The video okay. gamist? All right. So Nick the Economist and Nick the video gamist. As per usual,
it's a good combination.
The two Nicks with me in the studio tonight. Now, coming up in the next half hour, we've got all the news from the A-League. We're going to talk the Euro crisis and the rise of Asian football, what it means to the A-League. We're going to go through the Australia's Greatest Ever Footballer Awards we're on. We're going to go through that. And if we have time, a bit of Aussies abroad, because Holman and Hurd for Aston Villa are cutting it up, albeit in the preseason games. And Mitch Langerak is getting some game time.
Good stuff.
Now, if you've got an inquiry or you'd simply like to tell us how much you like the show, you can do so on our email, nearpostradio@gmail.com. Nick the Economist, you are the garter of the email. How are we going?
Well, look, we do get the occasional bit of nice feedback, but really our email Gmail account is a source of unlimited opportunities.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, this week we were contacted. I don't even know what some of the drugs do that we're being offered by this Canadian pharmacy, but it seems a remarkably proactive approach to our well-being.
Excellent. Canadian pharmacy, you say?
Canadian pharmacy. Right. That's the email address. There's Viagra and there's something else as well. I don't know.
So Nick the video gamist, you can catch the podcast on nearpost.blogspot.com and on iTunes as well as halftimeheroes.com.au, and I say it to you because you are Captain Uploader.
Yeah, finally got it on the iTunes.
Nice. Mm. So if you're hearing to the iTunes, big respect.
Mm.
Or just thanks. Maybe not so much of a
rating respect. Review's good too.
Ratings are good. I provided the first rating.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
nice.
I did.
Was it quite high?
It was quite high,
good.
I have to say. But
good. Well done. Well done, us.
They say that self-praise is the lowest form of praise, but
no. It's praise. It's praise. That's all that matters.
Talking about praise, show dedication this week is to Paul Ocon. Paul Ocon is the coach of the under-20s Australian side, and they qualified for the Asian under-22s tournament.
Is qualified the right word? They sort of fell
down. Through
fell
would be
down
the word I'd like to use.
Fell down the back stairs into the fire escape of the final is how I'd describe it.
To be talked about later on in the show. But yes, the key thing I think is qualification. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. We have a bit of a quiz question usually, but this is more of an intimate get-to-know-you kind of question. So, Nick the video gamer, the question is, who's your favourite Australian footballer?
Are we just talking about like a general international performance or just...
Anyone. Anyone that's really... that you love.
I'm a real fan of Mile Jedinak, I have to say.
Really?
He was such a dynamic player at the Mariners, and he just... Whenever you saw him run out on the field, you thought, we have a really good chance of winning this game. He's pretty solid. Even on the when he comes on for the Socceroos, I think, yeah, he's a solid player.
Nice. I think I could have guessed that it would have been Mariners-based. And fair enough, you've got to go with what you love. Nick the Economist, your favourite player?
So who would you guess was my favourite player? You've heard me talk about my love for several players
a number
of times.
Now, you in particular, you like the young player just coming through, so somebody just merging. Mustafa Amini?
Yeah, but no, that's current. If we're talking all time, he was definitely... He's the prototype for the young player coming through.
I'm guessing it's Soccer who just passed. Harry Kewell?
No.
Bresciano?
No.
Lay it on me.
It's got to be the V-bomber. He
really?
Was the original. Viduka? He was the original. He was 18 years old, yeah. And he couldn't stop scoring goals in the old NSL.
If he
was unstoppable.
If anyone's on any of the interwebs, have a bit of a look at Viduka when he was
thin
at his
Mark
peak.
Viduka, thin.
Thin Mark Viduka, who had it all. He had speed, he had the ability to take the ball past you, and he could hammer home the goal.
He had technique. He was a goal-scoring machine.
He was a goal-scoring machine. He put on a bit of weight later on, but he managed to use that to his strength.
I loved Bozza as well, in a sort of flaming phoenix-like career, waste of talent. But he was a pretty sensational player in his day.
For me, and this is where the Australian Greatest Footballer thing sort of sparked it off for me, it's a fellow called Charlie Yankos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who nice scored one particular goal for Argentina that was just a bullet of a goal into the back net.
I've got some controversy.
And I don't know why. I think this first time I started engaging with Australian football. And Charlie Yankos was, you know, king of the game at that time.
The Ned Zelic goal for, was it the under-20s?
It was qualification against Netherlands for the Olympics. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. But anyway, so thanks, guys. And we are on the near post. You might hear one or two mentions about Australian football. This week we've got the news. Mm. Nick the Economist, the news, please.
Okay, well, interesting bit of news. The Australia's Professional Football Association have announced Nick Holland, former AFL player, former head of the AFL Players Association, current practicing industrial rights lawyer, as the new chief executive.
I'm up in arms because he's not a football player.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. He's got a reputation, fairly intelligent, well-respected guy. Yeah.
Video gaming dude.
Yeah, if he knows this sort of union action very well, I don't see why he's, you know, a bad choice.
I think he needs to keep an eye on the problem sometimes with trade unions is not getting that sometimes higher wages comes at the expense of fewer jobs. And if Nick can balance that, you know, A-League teams have to live within their means while still attracting good players, all the better for it. So the Asian Football Conference has provisionally suspended Mohammed bin Hammam after an audit brought new charges of financial wrongdoings. I couldn't believe that there's corruption in football. Who would have thought? Anyway, so we mentioned the Australian under-20 team. They've qualified for the final of the AFC under-22 championship despite suffering a 5-0 drubbing by Japan.
Yeah, it was a very solid result, getting him through the next round. But, yeah, it was very disappointing. We've matched Japan on all other levels, but at youth level, we just got destroyed.
Well, then we're sending an under-20 team to an under-22 tournament, and, you know, quite a few of our best and brightest, even in that age group, aren't there. So I'm okay with this one.
Look, I'm very happy to have qualified, and I think this is, you know, think about the difference between qualification through Oceania and qualification through Asia. This is a real challenge, and it's good for the players' development.
Yeah, I've got a rant lined up later in the show. Looking forward to it. So probably maybe the biggest news of the week. Central Coast Mariners keeper Matthew Ryan has been given he's been invited to train for a week with EPL club Tottenham Hotspur. Nick Jr., how do you feel about this?
As an Arsenal supporter, I do have a bit of mixed feelings there, but look, I'm pretty excited. If he goes over there, he's definitely going to move out on loan because they don't have a reserve team, or he might, you know, challenge for a first-team place because, let's be honest, their first two goalkeepers could be his dad with their current age. 41 and 38.
Surely he'll go out on loan initially. Surely.
Well, yeah, I'd like to see him come back here for a year and then go back out.
Oh, a year.
Only got 1 year left on his contract.
I think EPL clubs, you know, they don't give jobs to 20-year-olds, no matter how good they are.
What, Jack Chesney?
Arsenal are a different kettle.
Yeah, unless they're desperate and oddly run. Brisbane Roar have confirmed the signing of Korean under-20 international midfielder Do Dong Won to a 3-year deal.
I think the important part of this piece of news is that he's playing for Brisbane Roar and he already has orange hair. Surely a popular one.
Surely a good sign. And becoming only the fifth Asian player in the A-League at the moment, not including all the Australian ones, obviously. And becoming the first with the word Dong in his surname as well. Small things. Sydney FC coach Ian Crook says the club doesn't have the money to sign Jason Kalina, but he's certain that his future lies with the A-League.
Interestingly enough, the comment accompanying this story was that the Central Coast Mariners and Western Sydney are now favourites to sign the midfielder, which really? I thought was very weird, since we are Sydney, a bit tight on cash.
Sydney don't have the money, but Central Coast, fresh off signing Stojocki, do.
Oh, I think Western Sydney will get him.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I think so too. New Zealand central defender Michael Boxall today confirmed he'd signed for Wellington Phoenix on a 2-year deal after being released by MLS side the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Actually, the interesting thing about this is I initially, looking at it, I thought that's an excellent signing. He'll go straight into the team. But they've actually got two quite capable centre-backs.
Yeah, in, it's just about building their squad depth. Yeah, this is really always good. Been a really really big problem for them.
It's a really good signing for him.
Surely he can play somewhere else, or they can play one of the other guys. But they do have...
Sigmund has played...
Sigmund's good,
On the flanks before, so...
Mm. A lot of Melbourne Heart news this week. They've helped to replace the loss of Eli Babaj by signing former Dynamo Zagreb striker Josip Tadic. I think he's a former junior international, tall, pretty accomplished striker.
He's an interesting one. I had a bit of a look at his stats record, and he scores maybe one in every three games. He's not what I would call prolific.
He had jumped around a little bit as well before coming into Melbourne Heart.
It'll be interesting to see how he goes. But obviously they've scouted him. That's the beauty of the A-League and the salary cap, is that you have to be very, very careful who you put in your squad.
Mm. So... Melbourne Heart are also going to have to replace Brendan Hamill, who's will undergo a medical with Seongyang Yuma Chumao after agreeing terms. Which there's rumours $500,000 price tag. So,
well, if they got $500,000 for Eli Babaj and Brendan Hamill, that is a pretty good off season for him. Has Curtis Good been officially moved to Newcastle yet, or is that still
ongoing? Long rumoured. So, you know, if it's a pretty productive off-season if that's the case. I think the wildest rumour of the week was that the Melbourne Heart are looking to upstate.
Bring back Michael Owen?
Well, not bring... I don't know that...
Well, bring
back to the...
Bring A-League, Michael Owen.
Apparently, across. The Michael's looking to move transition his career into horse racing, and a 10-game stint with the Heart over Spring Carnival might be his cup of tea.
Right. Nicely played, Heart. Nicely played.
I'd be surprised if they've got the coin to... pay for him, but look, good luck to them. Sort of last bit of news, the Western Sydney have been linked to a couple of interesting young players. Adam Sirota, who's looking for a club to go out on loan from FC Utrecht. He'd be a good pickup for them, but they're also trialling Giannis Samosas, who's a Greek youth international, which is, I think this is an interesting transition. We'll talk about this later on.
Yeah, and this is the link I want to move into. Thank you, Nick the Economist. That's the Near Post news, and you are, naturally enough, on the Near Post, either listening to us on 2XX or across the community radio network through your own radio stations, or even, if you are so skilled, podcasting us.
Through the ghost of Steve Jobs.
Through the ghost of Steve Jobs. talking about this kid, that this Greek kid, Simonis, who's trialling with West Sydney Wanderers, Nick, the question I ask is this the sign of things to come? Apparently he's a player that was doing reasonably well in Greece, and yet because of the financial constraints, he's now looking to other parts of the world, and he's found a place in the A-League. Let's look at, there's clubs all over the world that are benefiting from this. The MLS is picking up a lot of players. Leagues around the world are strengthening. Nick the Video Gamer, there's an Elker and Drogba signed for Shanghai.
Yep, Shanghai has signed, yep, those two. And then Gangzhou RNF, that's Ross and Griffiths' team in China, they've just signed Yakubu. And Guangzhou Evergrande, the current leader of the CSL, has signed Lucas Barrios from Dortmund.
What? Mm. And so you've got, I mean, obviously the Saudi Arabian sort of Arab clubs are doing very, very well. They've been signing big names for a long, long time. Even Thailand signed Robbie Fowler, and I think they're getting some guest appearances. So players are going, moving all around the world. It's
The economic sort of weight is shifting. Like, it's been the A-League, a number of the imports for this coming season coming out of sort of lower leagues, particularly in Southern Europe, where clubs have, you know, always had a bit of financial difficulty, but really being pushed up against the wall. But yeah, it's fascinating now that you can. Nicholas Anelka's on $300,000 a week.
Really, $300,000 a week?
Yeah, that's just.
And how much is Drogba on? Because now,
crazy money.
And I am paraphrasing from an article, but I believe that he said this: he did not move for the money. He moved for the challenge.
That is what he said, apparently. Yep.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm putting to you that
it's something so similar that David Beckham said when he went to the MLS. I didn't move for the money, but
but the money's good anyway. But so
the money's crazy.
Nick, are we going to be seeing more of this upcoming years? This is just great for the A-League, surely.
It's just economics. Well, the big question, as it always does, comes back to: can the A-League's next TV deal clinch its financial future? I think the Asian leagues are going to continue, particularly China. There's just so much crazy money there. The weird thing is that, you know, you can get Didier Drogba on some fantastic pay packet, but they can't produce a national team fit to save themselves.
But is this just the first step to do that? I mean, England doesn't produce a national team fit to save itself, and they have a very prosperous league.
They're okay. But
they did have a very decent national team beforehand. So Chinese national team has never really been that good.
I just don't think you can have a upside down pyramid. I don't think you can have all the weight and resources of the game at the top while in the bottom you're not investing in junior participation.
Are struggling. But what does it mean for the A-League clubs? Obviously, we're selling a lot of players and a lot of central defenders, no less, to Asian clubs. And certainly teams playing the Champions League. The trickle-down effect, Nick, I hear this term being used. Does it apply here? Are we going to be making money of it?
I think it's going to increase the profile of Asian football in general, which would, you know, presumably increase the sort of prize money you get for participating in the Champions League, which would obviously,
which is a good thing. Yep.
In an extension, help the A-League.
And it doesn't hurt the profile of the Champions League when you get somebody like Josh Kennedy come to town either.
That's right. So we're going to hopefully, that's going to be a negotiating point in the TV contract, because the Champions League, that's going to be where the big money is in the future, isn't it?
Oh, look, there's going to be some pretty serious money. Look, I think A-League clubs, the idea of them having this pipeline of young talent, like, If China's not investing in the grassroots, then we have to do the opposite. We have to continually bring young players through, and if they're good enough, we sell them for a lot of money to somewhere else. And that's fine. We go out and develop more players.
And I think we have to accept that that's our reality, just like the Dutch leagues do. They sell a lot of their players through and continue to develop and have a very strong national team.
And play attractive football as well. Like, you know, that guy like Thomas Broich isn't really a big name on the world stage, but he's freaking fantastic in the A-League. Get guys like that? I'm cool.
I think so. Talking about being cool, Near Post, we is cool. And I want to move on to something that I found very interesting, the announcement of the greatest ever Australian football team, or members in there. Now, what I want to do is just go through this team.
Okay.
Apparently, it's in a 4-4-3 formation. So, starting with the goalkeeper, Mark Schwarzer. Then we had Lucas Neal, Joe Marsden, Craig Moore, Alan Davidson. That's your back line. Johnny Warren, Ned Zellick, Tim Cahill as your midfield. Ray Bartz, Harry Kuehl, Mark Viduka. Nick, the video gamer.
Well,
You're from a different generation.
Yeah, a bit of puzzled looks for me when I saw this lineup. I was like, oh, I don't know a few of these players. Obviously, I knew Johnny Warren was, but Alan Davidson was a bit of a mystery to me. Ray Bartz, a couple times I've heard of him, but I wasn't really familiar with how he sort of conducted himself on the field. But yeah,
I remember Alan Davidson.
Of the players I know, it's a good team.
I remember Alan Davidson playing in some of those shocking Socceroos kits in the late 80s.
So he was a defender that played for Nottingham Forest, one of my favourite teams. He played for a couple of years in England, and unfortunately back injury sidelined him. He returned home from Melbourne and resumed playing in Australia. He made 133 appearances for Melbourne, Croatia, and then he transferred to Malaysia and played for Pahang FA and did amazingly well. Was voted best league player. Played for Socceroos 76 times, 2 goals. Not bad.
Interestingly enough, 8 of the top 10 Socceroos by appearance didn't make the team.
Yeah.
Alan Davidson's there. Yeah, Brett Emerton, no spot for him.
Well, long Premier League career. I don't think Schwartz is the best keeper.
Ooh.
Bosnich was a better keeper than Schwartz by a long, long way.
Hard to go past Schwartz for me.
No. Schwartz was much more consistent and reliable, but Bosnich was the better keeper.
There's some pretty good names who didn't make it. Alex Tobin, Paul Wade, Tony Vidmar. Luke Wiltshire's quietly carving out a very good Socceroos career.
So, once again, we see an Australian team that can't fit Ned Zelic and Paul Okon in the same team together.
Nice one. Yes, true. The sort of two of the great talents of their generation. Yeah, this is one that you're definitely too young for.
Yeah, just sitting in, just going, be just quiet, and they won't notice you know nothing.
Surely, Were you surprised that Farina didn't make the side? Frank Farina was a great player in his day.
Yeah, well, there's obviously quite a few strikers that you probably could have fit into that team, but I think the trio that they've got there is fairly credible. Obviously, Kuehl and Viduka have been lauded as probably the two best strikers that we've had ever. Mm. And Bartz, I guess, was just he was consistent.
Well, are we all okay with Robbie Slater not being in the team?
Yeah, I think we're struggling.
Only ever Australian player to get a Premier League winners' medal. And this is much lauded accolade, I think he likes to mention. Yeah.
Nice.
Craig Johnson, former FA Cup winner, no spot for him on a wing.
Absolutely, actually. That's a good one. There are some players who are Australian but didn't play for the Socceroos. Christian Vieri. Okay, I understand this is Socceroos' best one.
That's an interesting
one. Christian Ferrieri is an Australian player. He is the best striker, by a long, long way.
A couple other older names, Peter Wilson and Attila Aboni.
So Peter Wilson, he's an interesting one. He was a captain during the 70s and played a sweeper, and it was a ferocious player. Nick the Video Gamer, he's an interesting one. Peter Wilson, after that, became a recluse and pretty much hasn't responded to any media inquiries, interviews.
Yeah, all the stories about the 74 Socceroos.
Yeah. He is a bit crazy, it says.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. Mm. Now, the one...
Scott Chipperfield as well, another guy with a long, solid Socceroos career.
That didn't get in. Now, Joe Marsden, who the Joe Marsden Medal is named after, for the...
Best player in the A-League Grand Final.
Now, Joe Marsden, if you want to hear a good sort of background on Joe Marsden, the Football Ramble, a genuinely good podcast, Windass Hall of Fame recount of Joe Marsden's career. It's really worth it. So if you get on their website and download that, it's well worth a listen. Joe Marsden, very, very interesting character.
Mm.
Was spotted playing in Australia and kind of just... essentially, was paid. Him and his wife were paid to go over to England. He played for Preston North End, played his heart out. He actually was the first Australian to play in an FA Cup final, and that was in 1954.
Good times.
Yeah, unfortunately they lost against West Brom, but he was much loved by the Preston North End.
Mm. Cool. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah. So, Harry Kuehl was. Anointed as the best ever player.
That was a very contentious decision because I thought he has always delivered when he's fit, but he's not always fit. That was always his problem. So I thought that was a bit debatable. I probably would have given it to maybe Schwarzer, to be honest.
Really, Schwarzer? I would have gone for Duker if I'd
Schwarzer's
been
asked. More consistent.
And no Johnny Warren.
Yeah, no Johnny Warren. That's tough. It's hard
to compare across areas.
Yeah. And there's so much well-justified love for Johnny Warren, it's hard to make comparison. But yeah, I mean, Harry Kuehl's been the centrepiece of the team for 15 years. Like, you've got to pay respect for that, even if it has been a frustrating 15 years.
Now, some of the other announcements that night was the greatest ever manager of the Socceroos.
I'm so okay with this decision.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we're not going to go for...
Goose.
Yeah, it's got to be Goose, doesn't it? Yeah, okay.
Easy. Just.
He really did transform the way Australia played and also took us to a level that I don't think we'll be reaching for
looks like
maybe our lifetime.
You don't think we can reach the second round of the World Cup in our lifetime?
No, don't think so.
Nonsense.
There's not many World Cups left.
So
maybe in Nick the Video Gamer's lifetime.
Well, on average life expectancy, you've got another 10 World Cups in you.
Yeah,
and I think our odds.
So you think this generation's going to be able to do it?
I think our odds of qualification going forwards are about 7.5, 8 out of 10. And I think once there, we've got about a 1 in 3 chance of doing it. So
we came so close to beating Italy.
Yeah.
We're not going to get to the cusp of.
I think we'll make the second round at least twice again in your lifetime.
At least, well, let's put some money on it.
Because you only need a win and a draw to go through.
It's harder than it looks, you know.
It is.
Those guys playing in England, those Englishes, they've been trying.
It's difficult
to perform in the World Cup for a while.
We've done it. We've done it once, and we came very close the second time. Yeah, we're in the mix. It's okay.
So the greatest female player was announced as well. And it was Cheryl Salisbury.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah, well, I was doing a bit of reading up on her career.
She scrubs up on her career, scrubs up compared to anybody.
Seriously, doesn't it? She played centre-back and was the highest goal scorer. She scored 38 goals in 151 appearances. She became the second woman to play 100-plus games.
Yeah, like extremely impressive.
Game. She's amazing. Amazing player. And she played a little bit of a career for Newcastle in Australia and then played for New York. I think it was New York Power was the name of it.
Mm.
So, yeah, congratulations to all in the greatest Australian footballer lineup. None of us made it, unfortunate.
They
still got time.
They're still waiting on that best Australian podcast category to come in.
Honourable mention.
Well, thank you, boys. Nick, you are on the near post. Mm. And when you get to the near post...
Get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first.